This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast where we take a look at the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morse, and this week we're remembering the life of John Jenkins, the former mayor of Lewiston and Auburn from the class of 1974. Former track and field and football teammates and coaches reflect on what he meant to Bates and to the community as a whole. That's coming up on the Bates Bobcast. John Jenkins passed away last week at the age of 68. The beloved Bates alum made his mark in the Twin Cities as the first black mayor of Lewiston. He also served as the mayor of Auburn and was inducted into the World Martial Arts Hall of Fame, as well as the Maine Sports Hall of Fame. When he was a student at Bates, Jenkins played on the football team and was a sprinter for the track and field program. Bob Littlefield, from the class of 1975, was teammates with John on both squads.
It was someone who made an indelible impression right away. First was his physical presence, which was impressive, to say the least. John was a physical specimen as a young man, because of his participation in athletics and martial arts, and so he was impressive, but he was. He was boisterous, positive, funny, and wanting to get to know everyone. And so it made it really easy for all of us to get to know John right away. His laugh was infectious. It was unmistakable, and he laughed a lot. And he saw humor in just about everything. So that was during our football double sessions before school opened up. We were on campus by ourselves.
And he I read an article in the Bates Student. He wrote he laughed about his maybe lack of football skill. He said he was a member of the team, not a player. Apparently he rode the bench according to him. But based on the article I read, what do you remember about him on the football team?
Well, we played the same, but we played a similar position. We were both offensive backs, so we spent a lot of time together at practice. He was a committed player, didn't get a lot of, a whole boatload of playing time, but still just a great, great guy to have on the team. Absolutely.
So you spent a lot of time like in position meetings and stuff like that with him then probably, right? In terms of.
Oh yes. Position meetings. We did the same drills together every day. We spent a lot of time together. And then once football season was over, it seemed like the following Monday we were there for track practice in the old cage. We spent a lot of time together then because we ran the same events.
Sure. I know Walt Slavinsky was known for getting guys from other sports to come out for track. How did that kind of go from your perspective for you and John?
Walt recruited us both as track athletes. So we had a connection with Coach Slavinsky before we both arrived on campus. So I think even during that football season, we both knew that we were we'd be together for track and field.
Great. And I know you shared some memories on the Sons of Walt Slavinsky Facebook page about John. Take us through some of those real vivid memories you have, different stories you have.
Oh God, there's a lot that we spent a lot of time in the cage, doing workouts in the weight room together, in the locker room. We spent a lot of time, and I just remember just doing a lot of laughing, doing a lot of busting each other's chops. He was someone who would not take himself too seriously. That's to say the least. That one story that's really legendary about him is when we went to Vermont, we traveled all the way across New Hampshire and into Vermont. We stayed at a hotel in Burlington, and this is kind of a mystery. John got left behind at the hotel and had to find his way to the UVM Fieldhouse for the meet. And then, so we ran the meet and we're done and we're on the bus on the way home. And it's a long, long ride from Burlington to Lewiston on Route 2. But really just about every 7 or 8 minutes from the back of the bus, you would hear John, and I can hear him now, way the hell up in Vermont. That's where I was, left behind, way the hell up in Vermont. And you know, it's dark and everybody's tired and trying to catch some sleep, but you couldn't, because every seven or eight minutes we heard that from John. And so we laughed about it for years and years and years about that day.
I know John also was very, he had a remarkable career after Bates, obviously the first Black mayor of Lewiston, also the mayor of Auburn at one point. But he was very involved, I know, in social justice movements and whatnot, right? I mean, what do you remember about that side of him, kind of?
I remember him being an activist on campus. And I like to say that, yes, he was the mayor of Lewiston and he was the mayor of Auburn, but he was absolutely the mayor of Bates College for all the time that he was on campus. He was the mayor. I mean, he knew everybody. Everybody knew him. And he was committed to that community of the Bates College campus. So he started an Afro-American activist group on campus and got many of the African-American students to join. They sponsored events. They sponsored speakers. He really saw it as kind of a mission of his to bring that sense of social justice to the campus.
In terms of, I guess you said he was the mayor of Bates, it's just because his personality was such that he was impossible to ignore, I suppose, right? I mean, he was
impossible to ignore. But again, his physical presence, his personality, his commitment to the campus, the way he wanted to know everyone. He was the mayor. Professors loved interacting with him, and he made quite an impression.
Martial arts was something else he was very involved in, right? Do you know what he did with that and everything in college?
Sure, and he did a demonstration. He organized a martial arts demonstration in alumni gym. And people knew kind of what he did, that was kind of a sideline. But when he was out in the middle of the floor, and there was quite a crowd at alumni gym, and he's breaking boards and doing these things with this sword. I think that was like his specialty. And you could hear jaws dropping when they were watching him do this. It was so impressive.
During a track meet, was he must have been pretty inspiring just for different events and whatnot, just being on your side and everything, I imagine, right? During track meet?
He was, yeah, absolutely. Very supportive. He interacted with all the weight throwers. He interacted with all the distance runners. He and John Emerson, who was our captain 1 year and for quite a while the Bates record holder in the 1 mile run. He and John Emerson, they just had a great friendship, and they were both really big personalities, really big. And so it was very entertaining to watch the two of them interact in that environment. It was awesome.
John Jenkins was a sprinter, right? But he would come back to alumni meet, and apparently he did a cross country alumni meet 1 year or something. Like, I saw something about that. So he was willing to try something else, I guess, after he graduated, I suppose.
Right? He came back for John, when we were running, 200 meters was his limit. Absolutely. That was his limit. But coach did talk him into participating in the alumni cross country race. You know, he was lucky to survive that.
right. Well, I guess any other thoughts you wanted to share about John in terms of anything we didn't get to discuss about what you wanted to, you know, share in terms of, you know, fond memories and whatnot?
Yeah. You know, I was really taken aback by the news of his passing. And, I got to thinking there are a select few people who, you know, were placed on this earth by God for a purpose. John was one of them. And his purpose was pretty clear, was to make the world a better place and to make people feel better about themselves. And he did that. And it's just a shame that he's gone. And I'm really going to miss seeing him when I returned to campus. And his presence was really felt by everybody that knew him.
John Emerson, from the class of 1973, became fast friends with Jenkins during his time as a Bobcat.
I started at Bates in 1969. I was recruited not for my scholastic prowess, but for the fact that I could put one leg in front of the other rather quickly by Walt Slavinsky, who was an icon back then and still is. But so I met John through my track escapades because he was a track teammate of mine, a sprinter. And I was a middle distance runner at the time. And so we started our relationship at that point in time. My freshman year, I was housed at John Bertram Hall, I believe, which may still exist. My sophomore year, I was housed at Elm Street and then 51 Nichols Street because I got married at the tender age of 19 and graduated with two children. So I was off campus, but still a really strong part of campus, again, through my athletic endeavors and the fact that because of my lack of scholastic ability, I never cut a class. So I was always around. But that's where John and I met.
What most stood out about him, you know, when you met him? And like, I mean, because I've talked to people, big personality. What about him, you know, made you such good friends right off the bat, seems like?
He was really larger than life. Because of his personality, I think when you first met and we were introduced, he just immediately became your friend without really knowing you. And then over time, you were able to feel comfortable with him, and he was a great communicator. You'd talk and discuss things, and it became really apparent that he was a quality guy, and he could also see all those qualities in you. And so we just struck it off. He had a great personality and a great sense of humor, and was very early on, clearly, you could see he was going to be a really, really good friend, and he was.
What are some stories do you still remember to this day, kind of, you know, epitomize who he was? Any specific stories you remember?
I remember more now in my years since graduation about the personalities and not about the competition or what we did or didn't do on the field of endeavor, but it was John was always a tremendous cheerleader, and it didn't make any difference to John where you finished or how well you did or where he finished or how well he did. He was always positive and upbeat, and I think it was that part of his personality which helped me at my tender age of 18 or 19 to begin to put competition and school and all that stuff in perspective. I think when I was recruited to go to Bates, I again was recruited because of my ability to run, not my ability to be able to accomplish things in a scholastic realm. And so I felt a tremendous amount of pressure to succeed and to perform and to continue to perform. And it became, in many cases, because you're so competitive, it can almost overwhelm you. And I think John Jenkins was the kind of guy that would help you put all of that in perspective, such that winning and losing didn't make as much of a difference as it did the friendships and the experiences you had. I know that when my little daughter Heather was born in 1971, she graduated the class of 1993 from Bates. She also helped me put things in perspective the same way, because she didn't care whether dad won or lost. She just really loved it when he got home and took me for who I am. And I think John was the same way. And so I think without him knowing it and without us knowing it, I'm looking back over my shoulder now, he was able to help put things in perspective, and it really helped make me believe that it was the friendships and the relationships and how you handled winning and losing that really mattered. So he, great guy that way.
He was also quite into martial arts. I've heard some stories about a presentation he did at Alumni Gym. Were you there for that, the demonstration?
No, but I remember a demo, because he used to come out and do those remotely. I can remember being at a demo that he did John was a sprinter and built like a brick wall. He was really in tremendous shape, and the kind of guy that it was just, it didn't seem like he was in the weight room all the time, but he was just a tremendously fit and in shape individual. And I think that those martial arts sort of fit well with his personality, because I think it takes a lot of self-discipline, a lot of concentration, a tremendous amount of skill. And he had all of that. It's nothing I wanted to get involved in, but you could certainly appreciate it, because those sorts of pursuits followed him long after he graduated from Bates. Whereas once I got done in 1973, my running career ended and I didn't compete anymore at all. But John was able to continue to pursue those sorts of things, and also to teach and to learn. I did a little bit of coaching and teaching my first 4 years out of Bates, but he pursued that martial arts, and to his advantage and everybody else who he had as students' advantage, for a long period of time. And it was, I'm sure he was a great guy to have as an instructor.
Yeah. And then years later, he came back and obviously became the mayor, the first Black mayor of Lewiston. After that, became the mayor of Auburn. I mean, what does that say about, in terms of what he was able to do, as a citizen of this world, basically, and also of the Twin Cities specifically?
Well, I think, again, looking back over your shoulder, I think at the time, because we were so young and didn't think in those terms necessarily, John had all the prerequisite skill sets to make him succeed the way he succeeded in the civic and political world. He had a tremendous personality, very articulate. He spoke well on his feet, had great self-confidence. But most importantly, he loved people and he loved representing people. And I think as I looked back, and I down here in Gorham, I pursued a little bit of a political career as well. And to look up to the Lewiston Auburn area and see that John was succeeding in that realm was not a surprise to me at all, because he had all the prerequisite skill sets that make for a really quality politician and representative. And I think you look at it from today's perspective and through the lens of what we're seeing things go on now, hopefully there will be more people like John Jenkins that find themselves into the world of politics and representative government, because he was just a class act, and he's what really I think a politician should be, someone that really cared for the people he represented and demonstrated it on a daily basis. I thought the world of him. Yeah, really did.
Were you able to keep in touch, kind of, because you were both kind of in the main area in terms of, and also in similar realms, it sounds like?
You know, we weren't, except for the occasional, I worked in the greater Portland area for the entirety of my career. And on occasion, John would find himself in Portland on either business or doing some stuff downtown. And we'd bump into each other at a coffee shop or whatever. And it was always like we'd never left. He was always tremendously glad to see you. We had a great time recollecting our years on at Bates, and like we all do. But I think we both got so busy, like a lot of us do. You'd think that the town of Gorham or Lewiston Auburn was 150,000 miles away from Bates, because you get so busy in your life, yeah. You begin to get separated from. And so having a young family like I did, and going to work and getting busy and doing all that stuff, I didn't get back to campus as much as I probably should have or would have liked to, but I was connected to him in that realm. And also my sister, Sarah, was a purchasing agent and ran the bookstore at Bates for 35 years. So she always kept me in touch with a lot of my former peeps, including John, and would share stories of him with me and just hi, hellos and that sort of thing. But we kind of led our own lives in our own realm. But I think bottom line is, You never forget the type of a person that John Jenkins was, and you never forget the experiences you had with him. And I always had great memories. I'm very, very, very surprised to hear that that he passed at 68, because here I am, 69 years old, and we're all getting a little long in the tooth. But we hate to see, a fellow like him should have lived a lot longer, I feel.
Now, going back to the days on the track and field team, there was a famous trip to Vermont where John was left at the hotel by accident. Do you recall this?
I do. I was, my career was littered with hijinks. I was more about, I think I was more about goofing off than I was about competing. But I remember the trip to Vermont because it was incredibly cold. I think it was back in 1970 or 71. we all had our own individual rooms. I think maybe those hijinks were done parallel to whatever I was doing carrying on, but I'll never forget that. I think it was the only time we went to UVM, and a curious side note is after the track meet was over, and again, I don't know how well we did or whether we won or lost and make any difference, but there was a group called 10 Years After playing at the auditorium at UVM, and we were able to sneak in the back door and watch a little bit of the concert, and that group became iconic in terms of its attendance at the great 1969 Woodstock affair. And so I don't know whether that makes any difference in terms of what John was doing, but I think that's the bottom line with respect to the experience at Bates. We all had such a good time. Again, I don't remember a tremendous amount of the competitions or what went on. It was hard work and it was good discipline, but it was just those relationships and the times you had together that made the difference. And John was not everyone was like that. No one can be, but he had such a beaming, outgoing personality that you couldn't help but. And again, he was always in your corner, whether he won or lost or you won or lost, he was always right there with you. And a perfect classic teammate, really.
Great. What are your thoughts you want to mention about John? Any other memories that you wanted to share we haven't gone to talk about yet?
No, just the fact that exceedingly proud of him and his career, both at the state level and the local level, and being a leader in terms of being the mayor of both Lewiston and Auburn, giving back to his community, not a surprise, taking all his skill sets and applying them to the civic forum and doing such a wonderful job. It was always good to be able to have that Bates connection and say, I knew John Jenkins, and it was a real thrill to be able to have that, to have that link. So I really will miss him. Not again so much that we were, you know, seeing each other on a weekly or monthly or yearly basis, but just the fact that all those rich memories are still there and will always be there with me. Always going to be a great set of memories for me.
All right, John Emerson, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you sharing these memories.
Aaron, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And good luck to you and good luck to the Bobcats moving forward.
While Jenkins was primarily a sprinter, he did play for the football team as well. His senior season of 1973 was Vic Gatto's first year as the head coach of the Bobcats. The 25-year-old Gatto was the youngest collegiate head football coach in the country at the time. Gatto talks about how he landed the job at Bates and how players such as Jenkins helped him start turning a struggling program around.
Well, Vic, when you first got the job at Bates, youngest head coach in the country at the time, what was the adjustment like, you know, stepping on campus in that kind of role at such a young age?
Well, you know, I had spent a lot of time playing football, right? So there wasn't much confusion in my mind about what was required on the football coaching side. But I had a young family, two kids. We would have our third kid in Lewiston. And so we had a wonderful experience. I think the strangest thing about the assignment was, you know, getting the job, you know, as a private school head football coach at a place called Middlesex School in Concord, Massachusetts. You know, that doesn't really happen. Even in those days, it didn't happen. And even less nowadays that a high school coach gets that kind of elevation. But I had a lot of people on my side, particularly Carm Koza, weirdly, the head football coach at Yale. I played at Harvard. We had been rivals for 4 years, but Carm was the one who called me and said he was going to recommend me for the job at Bates. And I was thrilled. When I got there, I wasn't sure I was as happy as I thought I was going to be, because we had, you know, I inherited a program that had definitely struggled in those years before, but I was really happy to be on campus. You know, it's a lovely place. I love Maine. My family had a place on the water, a place called Flying Point, which is in Freeport. So we had been coming to Maine, you know, most of my life to that location. And it was just down the road. In the old days of Lewiston, you know, when it was a shoe manufacturing location, people commuted up and down that. I think it's Route 136 between the coast and Lewiston for their jobs all the time. So we weren't that far away. We knew about it and certainly knew what a great reputation Bates had, you know, as an institution. And a very good friend of mine from Harvard was also somebody who recommended me for the job was the head coach at Bowdoin. His name was Jim Lentz. He was the defensive coordinator at Harvard. I was an offensive player, but I knew Jimmy really well. and we were very good friends. So we became very good rivals when I took the Bates job and he was the Bowdoin coach. But those are the two influences that got me there. And I think in a funny way, I think I got the job because I got kind of screwed up in my interviewing process with the committee. And instead of going to lunch with the committee, which was what I was supposed to do, I was supposed to come up and have lunch with the committee that was the selection committee and then go for my interview post lunch. But the committee ran long with the morning interview. And I got stuck in quotes with Hedley Reynolds, who was the president. And Hedley and I really hit it off. I won't go into all of that. May make sense as we go forward. But Hedley was a wonderful guy, Middlebury type graduate, was coming to Bates, only been there a couple of years and looking to sort of make some changes. So I ended up, you know, seeing Hedley, and it turned out that the committee was split for two of us as candidates, and Hedley ended up making the decision. So my unfortunate enterprise of having to have lunch with the president turned out to be, I think, the definitive reason why I got the job. So those are a lot of stray thoughts. I apologize. When I got there, we had lost a significant number of games in a row, and I'd be trying to pull it out of my memory bank. And the second game that we had, we won it. So we broke that streak, and I think it was the only game we won that year, but it was nonetheless a happy experience for the guys who were seniors to have an opportunity to at least get a win before they exited Bates. And, you know, then we slowly but surely made progress and got better.
Yeah, one of those seniors was John Jenkins, who
right.
unfortunately recently passed away. When I emailed you, you mentioned that he had suffered some injuries that fall. But, I mean, tell me about his personality, because that's what everyone always talks about is John Jenkins' personality.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a lot of years ago. You know, we have enough math that we understand how many years it was. But John is still very memorable to me, right? And as I've seen some of the articles about him, you know, he had that winning personality, winning smile, super enthusiastic. And as it translated into football, you know, John was, was more of a track guy. You know, he was a very good runner. And so he had a role. He projected as a, you know, defensive back, wide receiver type, that kind of body type. And he certainly would have been a big help on special teams. But he had a couple of injuries that really kept him from playing much. But nobody was more enthusiastic. I can still remember his smile when we won that second game. I mean, it just was, you know, he lit up the room no matter what. And that particular time, he was a leader on the team, even though he wasn't a star player or anything. He just had that personality. And then as I went forward in my career at Bates, you know, I ended up being assistant dean of the college as well as the head football coach, because that was the Hedley Reynolds as president vision, was to pull athletics into the lifeblood of the school, not have athletics be over here, almost a warring faction, you know, with the faculty and with the academic purpose of the place. So I worked hard to make that happen. John was a great symbol of that. I mean, he had friends throughout the campus. He was well-known, well-respected by everybody as a football player. That was, you know, an important piece of him, but nowhere near what John was about, right? And that was what we were about, really, as creating that program, was to make it be part and parcel of what the Bates experience was for everybody. So the football players were just as critical to the environment. And for them, academics was the number one reason they were there. We endorsed that as the coaches. And that was all sort of emblematic of what we were trying to say about the Bates experience.
John, of course, that later became the mayor of Lewiston and the mayor right. of Auburn after that. But a previous interview I did, the guy described John as the mayor of Bates when he was there. Did you get right. that sense?
no doubt about it. I mean, in the dining hall, you know, walking around campus, you know, John was somebody who everybody knew and respected. In most cases, I'm sure they liked him as well. But John, I think, in my view, really commanded respect, especially like on the team, where typically the respect is given to those who play the best. That was definitely not the case here. John was respected because he was smart, a leader, somebody who cared deeply about Bates and Bates football. And he, you know, he embodied that every day. You know, he'd be out at practice working really hard, even if he wasn't able to play because he had an injury that wouldn't let him. He was somebody who was always there, always working at it hard.
Yeah, you mentioned trying to turn around the program because it had, you know, had some tough seasons the previous few years. But a guy like John, it's key to helping turn around a program like that because of that attitude, right?
There's no doubt about it. I mean, that effectively, that's what you're changing, right? It isn't, I mean, nobody, you know, it's not anybody's fault. It wasn't the previous coaching fault. It wasn't the player's fault. It's all just a matter of changing the direction, right? And changing people's sense of themselves and purpose. And John, as you know, probably from your Bates experience, he embodied that in every aspect of his life, right? He was super enthusiastic. He cared deeply about people. And that came through everything he did. And so we tried to transmit that same thing because we have the same idea about the world. And John was right aboard that train and helped bring, you know, the younger kids particularly, you know, into that notion.
Certainly. And then what can people who maybe now even people who may not be getting the playing time that are they're injured, what can they learn from what you witnessed from guys like John who were still so enthusiastic, even though they weren't necessarily out on the field?
Yeah, you know, I did my all my academic work, my doctorate work on the team as a learning environment. I think that that experience for everybody, and I'm not just talking about males here, that chance to be part of a team and contribute to the whole is a unique kind of opportunity in our education system. It's hard to replicate that in the classroom, although when I taught, I tried to. But I think getting that sense of, you know, group purpose and group dynamics is an important lesson because that's how you become mayor, right? I mean, you don't become mayor by thinking it's a one-man show, right? I mean, that's just not the way it works. You know, it's a team-building exercise, clearly, to win, and then clearly a team-building exercise to successfully govern. And John embodied that, as did all of the guys, really had that experience, that opportunity. It didn't matter if you played as the number one quarterback or you had an opportunity to just be part of the team and you know, and be part of the group. Those lessons definitely replicate themselves. And John's a great example of that, right? I mean, all the things he did, you know, first black, you know, as a senator, you know, in Maine, I mean, that was a, you know, certainly an amazing tribute to his ability to reach across, you know, racial, ethnic, and every other kind of line. He was a winning person.
I'm curious, did you get to go to any of his martial arts demonstrations he was famous for?
No, I know of them and I've seen them online, but I never was able to do it. He certainly had that mentality, very disciplined, very smart, able to, you know, sort of, and I think in his own personal way, he also had the ability to be balanced about everything, which of course is critical to martial arts. He was balanced in every part of his life, right? I mean, he balanced his academics, his social life, his athletic life in a very unique way. And being an amazing leader on campus.
And he was at the forefront really of, you know, social justice movements back then too, right?
Absolutely. And it was a critical ingredient in everything we did because we were recruiting hard to bring, you know, different kinds of people to Bates and change the fabric of the institution. I'm not just talking about football now, I'm talking about, you know, the whole campus. And John was a great ambassador for the school, right? I mean, among all the players that we recruited, whether they're minority students or not, John was somebody I wanted them to meet because he was, as you deduced or probably experienced, he was a great ambassador for Bates as an institution, right? As a wonderful, caring place. And John could both tell you that and embody that.
Great. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share that we haven't gotten to talk about yet?
I don't think so. I was obviously sad to hear the news, but, you know, it's certainly a tribute to John. You know, he lived the kind of life that we'd all like to live, something that was meaningful and mattered to a lot of people, everybody he touched. So it's a wonderful tribute. Glad you're doing this, Aaron, and happy to think about those memories again.
Next time on the Bates Bobcast, we'll check in with how some of the fall sports teams are adjusting to the new normal on campus. That's next time on the Bates Bobcast.